Hello there. My name is John Cares, and I am the editor-in-chief for the Gumsby Gazette. At least whilst the chief is on holiday. And while Dave is ill. Which I'm assuming will actually be quite some time, as he has come down with a nasty case of German measles. Regardless, I am the acting editor-in-chief for the Gumsby Gazette. If found, please hand this device back into the Gumsby Gazette offices on the High Street, just next to the small cafe on the corner. You know, the one with the most unbelievable sandwiches. Fish in bread. Who'd have thought it? But it works, what can you say? Anyway, I digress. If found, please hand this device into the office next to the cafe. Thanking you. Day one of being in charge. I think I'm doing pretty well so far. Almost 2 hours in, and I've already tidied my desk and made a pot of tea. A little excessive, of course, as I'm the only one who'll be drinking it, but still. I checked in with Dave. It was his wife who answered. She seemed to be doing okay, and apparently Dave is doing well. Not too well, I hope. Only joking. Of course. Anywho, my plans for the rest of the day are as follows. I've got to get my... Hang on. Monday morning, 10th of March, 1979, 10:44 in the a.m., and I'm currently stood in the office after receiving a call from one Mrs. Baxter. Now, she's the one whose husband left her not 6 months back after only just moving to the area, and even though she says she's fine, she's begun wearing her hair in ponytails at the age of 46. Now, apparently, that's not news, but you never know what distracting behaviour like that might lead to. She called to say that her son, James Baxter, has found the most interesting specimen in one of the backfields and that I should come and have a look for myself. Whether or not there's a story in this, we'll have to wait and see. It is now 11:09 a.m. Still the 10th of March, that is. Still the 10th of March, 1970. It's the same day. And I'm currently approaching the property of one Mrs. Baxter, soon to be Ms., I'm sure. From the outside, all looks very normal, nothing out of the ordinary. Just getting to the front door now. I'll report back soon. Jesus Christ! Those bloody dogs! After knocking, Mrs. Baxter opened the door in a dressing gown made of what can only be described as dental floss. Surrounded by dogs. Well, of course, someone as well-built as me must look like an entire Christmas turkey. Trimmings and all to those beastly hounds because they went for me. Luckily, as a child, I was a long jumper, competed at county level and won bronze in the under-12, under-2 metres jump. Because without that particular string to my bow, I might not have made it out alive.
Yeah, get these dogs back inside. Move it, you bloody animals. What are you doing? Stop it. Leave it. Come on, get back inside. You're playing it. Silly dogs. Come on.
Mrs. Baxter has instructed me to wait here in my car until she's got the dogs under lock and key. And I'm to go around the back and meet young James, who will show me this... this thing, whatever it is. Oh, good grief. I'm stood here now with...
When do you want me to speak?
Well, not yet. Hang on. I'm stood here now with James Baxter of the Burrows, Lower Gumsby. How do you do, James? Now. I'm okay. Excellent. And can you describe to me what you were doing when you found the article in question?
Yeah.
I were out walking dogs and everything were normal and they were doing what they do normally. And then all of a sudden, they were getting all angry for no good reason, which really ain't like them. But I didn't think nothing of it. So we carried on walking and then I saw like this explosion down bottom field. Only it weren't an explosion, it were a flash, I suppose. But there were no noise coming from it. Anyway, the dogs was going mental, so I had to take them back in house because they just kept barking and it was scaring chickens. So I get them in and my mum's like, "Where have you been? I've been cooking your tea." And they were like, "Yeah, I know, but I was with the dogs, right, and I saw this thing." And she were like, "I don't care what you've seen. When I say tea will be ready in 10 minutes, I mean 10 and not 30. Your lasagna's cold now." So I was really angry at her, because I'd only actually been 15 minutes, but I didn't want to say nothing, because today my mate's birthday, and I'm supposed to be going up road for a house party, but not if she don't let me. So I says to her, "Look, I'm sorry I'm late. I actually quite like lasagna when it's colder, because you always cook it too hot." And she was always like, "What do you mean I cook it too hot? It's as hot as the oven makes it, because like she thinks I'm stupid or whatever." Anyway, she sends me up to my room before I could eat it, which is fine, because lasagna is gross when it's cold. But then I remembered. I was tired. So I fell asleep, and then when I woke up, I remembered the explosion I saw, but it wasn't an explosion, it was a flash. Anyway, I remember this morning, so I got up, and I went back, and then I seen it.
And what did you see?
Like, a little silver ball, but it was floating. And I tried to touch it, but it was like it weren't there. But it was there.
Well, can you take me to it?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, because when you first got here, I noticed these strange men were walking about, but I didn't think nothing of it, because I know my dad's had the farm up for sale since he left, because he needs more money to help Sarah get into drama school. Sarah's his new girlfriend, and Dad said she's going to be famous one day, and then she'll be able to pay him back for the drama school that he'll pay for now. So I let him walk round and stuff, because it's none of my business. But then as we've been stood here talking, which has actually taken quite a long time, they pulled their van up and put it in the back, and now they're driving away.
What? Oh, for fuck!
Update. It is now 14:21 in the PM. I have not long got back from the Baxters, where everything seemed a little strange. It's all a bit something and yet nothing. The Baxter boy was sure he'd seen a small silver sphere that had the ability to levitate. When he tried to touch the sphere, he was unable to make contact. I can only assume Master Baxter had perhaps been at the family supply of elderberry wine. It must be an extremely stressful time for him. What with his father leaving and his mother, who is clearly certifiably insane. I mean, really. Lasagna on a Sunday night. I did see a van leaving the property, but I recognized it instantly. It was Mr. Jacob's greengrocer van. He'd been a confidant of Mr. Baxter for some time, and the fact that his sister, Sarah, has been known to enjoy the company of recently divorced men, I'm guessing he was merely lending a hand in reclaiming some of Mr. Baxter's property. Alas, it seems there is no story here. All that remains is to begin my list of chores, starting, of course, with... hang on. It seems like my first day in charge is coming to an end. All in all, not terrible. I may not have unearthed a hidden mystery, but then Rome was not built in a day. Tomorrow I must remember to contact Master Baxter, to apologize for my choice of words uttered, as I'm sure he understands, in the heat of the moment. The good vicar rang earlier. He wants that I should make space in this week's edition for an advertisement on his behalf. It seems the lady who usually tends to the flower beds around the graveyard has taken ill, and a temporary replacement has been requested. The office seems quite large when one is here alone. Still, A fair trade for a chance to rule the roost, as it were. I'm not sure what date the chief is supposed to be back, though they say Moscow is lovely this time of year. I remember being there in my youth. I was just... Oh, good grief, one moment. Oh, James, do come in. What can I do for you? Dear sir or madam, I have come to ask that you disregard anything I may have said in the past 24 hours, and that any formal statement made by me be distracted.
Detracted?
Sorry, I'm concentrating. Thank you for your time, James Baxter.
James, excuse me.
How very strange. Why on earth would he feel the need to do that? A lesser journalist would think that there were more to this story, but I mean, really. Lasagna on a Sunday. Poor boy. All that remains for the day is to go home, pour a well-deserved glass of cranberry juice, and cook Mother her liver and onions. Oh, and that reminds me. I must pop into Mr. Jacob's shop and pick up some grapes for poor Dave. It is now 16:47, and I am currently stood in Mr. Jacob's greengrocer's with Mr. Jacob's, the greengrocer. Might I ask you to repeat what you just told me for the tape?
Well, yesterday I was walking down the back alley behind my shop at about 8 o'clock at night when I sees this fella all dressed up like he's going to play or something. He walks up to my van, unlocks it, and then drives away in it.
Unlock the van so he didn't smash a window or anything?
No. That's what's so strange. I have the only key and it were in my pocket at the time, yet he managed to unlock it himself.
Interesting. Of course you contacted the police.
I did.
But as I'm sure you're well aware, they're a steaming pile of...
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Waverley. See you next week.
As I was saying, the police are no good at all. Anyway, I was going to head out today to start my own search. But I've been so busy this morning, we've got a new batch of pears in, you see. So I went out after lunch, and there it was. In the same place it had been last night. I reckon it's them new telephone lines they've been building up the hill. Messes with your brain. Or maybe it's something they're putting in our food. I heard they spike the milk with drugs so your cereal tastes sweeter. Well, they're not getting to me. I've been eating my Frosted Flakes with water since the 60s. I ain't stupid. Well, okay. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Most bizarre. Mr. Jacobs believes he is going mad. That he dreamt up the notion that his van had been stolen by a well-dressed man, but I know for a fact that it was at the Burrows this morning. I saw it with my own two eyes. Master Baxter also saw the men in suits. Perhaps the elderberry wine is off the cards. How peculiar. Something is clearly happening in this village, and I'll be damned if I can't get to the bottom of it. I'll have to have a deeper look into it tomorrow. The Gumsby Gazette is written, produced, and performed by Hugh James.